Start your day in the tailway at Usher Richmond.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We know there's a Gemara Bracha tells us there's a Megefa, and there's a plague going around in the times of the Dovan HaMelech. We know the way he was metaking the plague, the way he was metaking the bad things that were going on was he was metaking that people should make, Chayisot should make 100 brachas a day. So this is an Indian that's been going around since then, whether it's Deraisa, Derabbanan, different Soferim. Is a bit of a bit of back and forth, but Lamaisa says an Indian of making brachas, and it seems that this Indian of making brachas is very kosher, very important. It's the main way to kind of build a relationship with Kodesh Baruch Hu, because every kind of part of your life you're dedicating to him, and you're saying this comes from here, this comes from here, and everything we're doing we kind of see there's an emphasis on making it back, taking it back to the source, which is always a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now there's basically three categories of brachas. I'm talking here about bracha rishona, the bracha that comes before whatever you're doing. There's three categories. You've got Berachas HaShevach, but that's going to be going on, let's say, anything that you're praising Hashem, but you're not necessarily getting any physical pleasure from. So let's say, I don't know, seeing lightning or seeing a Tam Chochem or something like that. And then you've got Berachas HaNenen, which is the most kind of, Berachas HaMitzvah is probably easy to, doesn't matter. But Berachas HaNenen is going to be on something you get physical pleasure from, eating, things like that. And then Berachas HaMitzvos, which is going to be the focus of today's drasha, is going to be a bracha going on a mitzvah. So any time Chazal instituted a bracha going on a mitzvah, it's going to be called a Berachas HaMitzvah. Now, what's interesting is all the brachas that we have, bracha rishonas, let's say, all of them are midrabanan. You don't see the Torah anyway telling us. There's no pasuk in the Torah that tells us to make a bracha. Okay, Berachas HaTorah maybe is the one exception. It's machlokes, whether that's deraisa or midrabanan. But the simple understanding is that all of the brachas that we have, Chazal instituted to give us a constant understanding, a constant way of being connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's interesting is how Chazal did this it's complicated, difficult to understand. Certain things have a bracha, certain things don't have a bracha, certain things sometimes have a bracha, certain things depends who's making the bracha, certain things you can make a bracha for someone and be mighty them, certain people, certain times you can't do that. It's a complicated inyan, but we're going to focus today on there's a certain mitzvah, as I said before, where you're making brachas, and certain mitzvahs that Chazal were metakein that you don't make a bracha. So the first one I'm going to focus on is Hilchos Tzedakah. So when you look at the mitzvah during Tzedakah, which is a very, very, very kosher mitzvah, you see that the communities were saved because of the mitzvah of Tzedakah. You see, you know, you could go into a shul, you see leaflets, you see a massive inyan in Klal Yisrael to give Tzedakah. Why is there no bracha on this mitzvah? You've got this very, very, very kosher mitzvah, this mitzvah that you know, the three things that can save a person, Yom HaDin, one of them is Tzedakah. You know, Tzedakah is a very, very, very important mitzvah. And you know, it encompasses so much of what we're about as Jewish people, yet there's no bracha on it. Because I'll just say, yeah, just do it without a bracha. Yeah, other mitzvahs do a bracha. So the Rashba says that the reason why Tzedakah doesn't have a bracha is because he says that any mitzvah, this is a klal, which is very interesting, any mitzvah that's reliant upon someone else to fulfill the mitzvah doesn't get a bracha. So just take that in for a second. Any mitzvah that you need someone else to fulfill this mitzvah, I don't mean a shliach. I don't mean someone else reading the Megillah for me, therefore I can't make a bracha. No. Any mitzvah that in its very emphasis, I need someone else to perform the mitzvah, does not get a bracha. Yet for whatever reason. Now the reason is not 100% clear why that would be, but the poshtus, the simple understanding is going to be because you have a certain lack of control over the performance of this mitzvah, and therefore maybe they'll say no. Maybe, you know what, you'll say, you know what, let's say Hilchos, let's think of a mitzvah that you need someone else. And let's just go with Tzedakah for the simple shot. Let's say, pardon?
Mila.
No, so Mila's different because that's slightly different. Let's put the cycle 1 minute. That's, we don't make a bracha on Mishloach Mamos. Yeah, fine. But let's say Hilchos Tzedakah, right? So he gives Tzedakah. I remember when I was teaching years ago in a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, place boys didn't grow up so from, and I remember taking them to Me'ah Sharim on a Friday afternoon to see the local people and get some food, whatever else. And we're walking along, and there was a person there, not Mamish Me'ah Sharim, but around that area. And these boys were very interested in everything. And I remember we're walking along, and he was asking for tzedakah, you know, American tourists, yeah. So this boy didn't have any money, but he had half an agarot, which I think in those times was about maybe a penny. Let's just say it's a penny, for argument's sake. So he gets it out. I said, listen, don't give it to him. It's not respectful. He said, it's a mitzvah, right? So he takes it, this boy, just learning about Torah, and he gives it to the person begging, and the person says, and you know, it's that. They look up at that. I don't want it, and gives it back. Well, how can this not? It's demeaning to give someone that, right? The boy had good intentions, but nevertheless, imagine that boy makes a bracha now. I shared with him, he said, "Al mitzvah tzedakah," and he goes, "And Lord said, give it back." So now we're brushing, providing. The whole thing is a bit complicated. Once you're involving other people in the mitzvah, so we're kind of moving brachas away from it because we're dependent upon other people. Now that's going to go for all other mitzvahs that involve other people. Kivud Av V'Em, Hachnasas Orachim, guests, Hashabbos Aveda, which we're going to deal with later. Any mitzvah that involves other people, we're not going to be seeing that you make a bracha on. That's the point. One sec. Again, what's the question? Is there a question? You don't make a bracha. Any mitzvah that involves someone else, you don't make a bracha. So when you have guests, you don't, you know, pick them up and shake them and go, "Ah, mitzvahs." Yeah, fine. Okay, so, well, I wouldn't do that, unless you don't want them to come back. Anyway, so any mitzvah that involves someone else, we don't seem to make a bracha. That's the pshat of the Rashba, and that's as far as seems to be, because we don't want to have to, we have a certain lack of control over the mitzvah. The Orach HaShulchan, I think it's from the Sefer Rokeach, I think, the Orach HaShulchan says a different teretz. The Orach HaShulchan says, why don't you make a bracha on tzedakah? And this is going to go for all other mitzvahs as well, many other mitzvahs. He says, any mitzvah that is logical, any mitzvah that everyone does, right? Any mitzvah that the non-Jewish world does, any mitzvah that you would do, even if you weren't commanded to do it, if you're a decent human being. So therefore, you're not going to make a bracha, because you're not going to say, "Asher kedishanu mitzvah sofer tzivanu," that Kodesh Baruch Hu has taken us and sanctified us in the commandments and has commanded us to invite guests. Well, non-Jewish people invite guests. I like having guests. "Asher kedishanu mitzvah HaKodesh Baruch Hu has sanctified us and has commanded us to return a lost object." I mean, hopefully most decent people, you know, my neighbour who's not Jewish, hopefully if I drop my car keys, he'd knock on my door and give them back. I hope. Especially when he sees the car. But I'm saying, Lemaisa, you see that the Orach HaShulchan's holding that any logical mitzvah, you can't say Asher Kedishanu mitzvah sofer when you've sanctified us. Because there's not really a clear sanctification going on. Okay. Pardon?
Make a rock in front of the honey.
Yeah, we're going to get there. Yeah. We're going to get it. Okay. Abu Ratam says a very similar answer. I don't think he's chaylik on the Orach HaShulchan, but he kind of says adds to it, I think. He says exactly what you said. We don't make brochas which involve other people's pain. Right? So we don't make a brocha on someone where I need someone else to perform the mitzvah. We don't make a brocha on that person when it's a kind of a negative, let's say they're going for a hard time. So imagine someone knocks on your door and you open it. And he says, "Hi, I'm collecting for my family, you know, my Chassid Shalom, my child needs an operation, da 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 da." And you go, "Yep, chilled. Wait a minute, let me get my sitter. Boruch, Atok." And he's standing there. He's a human being, right? So at the end of the day, it could be that Chazal weren't talking brachas on things where you should do it, yes, because it's a mitzvah, but you should also kind of want to do it anyway. And we don't take someone else's sorrow, someone else's pain, and then make them into a lulav, right? Now, obviously, you should do it. And obviously, the fact that it's a mitzvah should be pushing you to do it. But nevertheless, the emphasis should be on the reason for your doing it is to help the person, not because it's a mitzvah. If you see how that's going. But you should still know it's a mitzvah. You should still do it because it's a mitzvah. But the main emphasis should be on helping the person, not on the fact that I'm getting a mitzvah for this. Does that make sense? Perhaps that's why there's no bracha. A very famous story on this topic I heard many, many years ago. I heard a story, I think it was from Rabbi Taff actually in Golden Screen. He said a story, I don't think it's true, but it's very, very funny. So the emphasis should be on you, should be on the person, and the person who's receiving the chesed, rather than you yourself getting the mitzvah. That's why there's no bracha, let's say, on doing Hakdosas Orachim, or Shachas Aveda, and these kind of inyanim. So Birch HaCholim, visiting sick people, there's no bracha on visiting sick people, right? The same reason, because it's logical, you should want to visit sick people, and the emphasis should be on making them feel better and not on you getting a mitzvah. So I perhaps told a famous story many years ago, I'm going to add a little bit to it, and I don't know if it's true, but it's, it has certain clarity to it, that it's a funny story and brings out a choshev inyan. So he says, once upon a time, let's make up names here, let's say Beryl and Moishi, so Moishi's not very well and he's in hospital and he's on his last legs, let's say, and Beryl decides he's going to go and visit him. Because it's a mitzvah, right? So it's Beruch HaCholim, so Beryl's not well. Beryl's not well. So Moishi now goes and he gets the morning off work, and they're not going to pay him for it, and he gets on the tube, London, rush hour, and it's crammed, packed, and he gets all the way to central London, and he has to pay for the tube, and he's taking the morning off work, and he forgot his sandwiches, and he's stuck in central London, and it's pouring with rain, and he finally gets to the central London hospital, and he's walking up the steps, and he's soaked, and he's just feels absolutely awful. It's taken him 2 hours to get there in a rush hour, and suddenly he gets a text. He looks at the text, and it's from Beryl. Baruch Hashem, I'm feeling much better. I'm being discharged in half an hour. There's no need to visit me. I'll see you at home. And he goes, what do you mean you're feeling better? I've come all this way to visit you, and you're feeling better, right? So Lemaisa, the Indian of the story, we've all probably been there, right? But that kind of thing. But the Indian, the moral, let's say, is that the emphasis of you visiting him is so he gets better. Not so you get mitzvah, right? If you kind of look at it that kind of way. Although the mitzvah should definitely be pushing you to do chesed, maybe when you don't want to do it. I once heard Rosh Hashanah say some similar thing in Torah. The other reason we don't maybe give brokers on tzedakah is it more so, a bit of a sad reason, let's say, but there is a Gemara in Kesubos, and the Gemara in Kesubos says, why do you not have a chiyuv to give tzedakah to every person who asks you? Why don't you have a chiyuv? And it says, because there's enough of them out there that aren't genuine. Chas v'shalom, it's this Gemara says, not me. It says, enough people out there who are not genuine, therefore, since there's enough people who are not genuine, and I once heard Rabbi Yochanan say, I think they've probably got more money than you, but therefore, if there's enough people who are not genuine, therefore, even though there are many people who are genuine, but nevertheless, we can't be matakin a brocha in such a case. The Gemara doesn't say about the brochas, but the Gemara just says that there's people who are not genuine, and that saves us from always having to give tzedakah. And therefore, since you have a safek, when you have a safek in a brocha, you're not 100% sure the person's genuine, we wouldn't make a brocha. Now, we mentioned the shot. Any questions? It's clear? Yeah. So. What do you mean, say again? Yeah, so this is an interesting question. Let me ask you a question, or a question back to you. Let's say Jeff Bezos puts on a baseball cap and he walks into MH and he decides he wants to collect some money for himself. So if you give him, let's say, some money, is that hilchos tzedakah? So I'm saying it could be. No. Again, I'm not chassidim telling anyone not to give tzedakah. You should give to every tzedakah. My point is that you have to draw the line somewhere of what's called tzedakah and what's called, let's say, a matana, a gift. So therefore, making a bracha on something which may be a matana and not necessarily hilchos tzedakah, so maybe we're worried that maybe they might overlap, so therefore we don't put a bracha in there. It could still be a chesed and a mitzvah to give to someone. If someone's son, let's say, has a good job, right, but you want to help them a bit, so you help them buy a house. But it could be that, maybe it's not tzedakah, but it's certainly a nice thing to do. It's certainly a chesed, it's certainly a kindness, certainly probably something a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants you to do, but it's not, maybe it's not tzedakah. Okay, I'm going to move on. Yeah, does that make sense? Yeah, exactly. So all of these in Yanim. Fine. Okay, we're going to move on. With her Knasas, with her Shabbos Aveda, returning a lost object. So the Rashba would hold, obviously, you don't make a bracha because it's logical, because it's dependent upon someone else. Because let's say you find the lost object now and you give it back. Maybe they won't want it. Maybe they won't want it. But, I don't want it anymore. I left it there on purpose. The Rashba would say, once it's dependent upon someone else, you're not going to make a bracha. The Orach HaShulchan would say, it's logical. Most normal, moral people would return lost objects. Therefore, you're not going to make a bracha. But there is, I saw in the Achronim, they do say an interesting pshat here. They say it could be the reason why you don't make a bracha on returning lost objects is because there's a yet, I don't know if anyone here has learned Baba Metsiah, right? In school they learn it, right? There's an idea of yish. There's an idea that if you lose something and you give up hope of ever finding it, it doesn't belong to you anymore, and there's no mitzvah to return it. So again, let's say I'm going with my kids to Oxford Street, and there's 100,000 people walking around, and I drop, I don't know, a white envelope that's got no siman in, with some money in Oxford Street, and there's 100,000 people. Get home, 5 hours later, where's my money? Oy vey, I dropped it in Oxford Street. I have no percent of my mind do I think I'm ever going to get my money back. Therefore, if a Yiddish person, I'm not paskening, but it seems push up shot, if a Yiddish person now walks along Oxford Street, and he picks up that envelope, and he knows it belongs to a Yid, he still has no obligation and no mitzvah to return it. Now, is he allowed to return it? Of course he's allowed to return it. But it's not a mitzvah Shavas Aveda. It's a different type of mitzvah. Maybe it's a dach, or maybe it's chesed, whatever it is. But it's not necessarily Shavas Aveda. So how can you make a bracha? You can't be metaken a bracha on something where the person may have been Yish, the person may now not own it, and you're doing a mitzvah that's not Shavas Aveda. So therefore, some of the echoing want to say like that. I heard a story meant... let's move on, actually. So when it comes to the next mitzvah we have, so let's say building a sukkah. So building a sukkah, the pasuk says, Hachag of sukkahs ta'aseh lecha shivas yomim. You should make for yourself the Hachag of sukkahs. Chazal learn out for a drosha that there's a mitzvah to actually build a sukkah. There's an actual mitzvah for a person to try and build a sukkah. So why don't you make a bracha on building a sukkah? Why don't you make a bracha? When you build a sukkah, why are we not making a bracha? Seems like it's not dependent upon someone else. Some of you will say, well, it is, because someone's got to hold the poles. But I'm saying, in its emphasis, it's not necessarily dependent upon anyone else. You could do it, you know, on your own, right? So why are you not making a bracha on building a sukkah? Yeah, you make a leishah, but that's a completely separate mitzvah.
That's the mitzvah.
Okay, fine. So that's
not to build a sukkah.
The Pasuk says, Ahag ha-sukkahs ta'aseh lecha shivas yomim, and the Gemara there learns out that there's a mitzvah to build a sukkah. And there's a separate mitzvah to sit and eat and live in the sukkah. Now, whether the mitzvah is the Rabbanon, whether it's a drasha, you're right, maybe it's not the Raisa. But nevertheless, it seems that there should be some kind of bracha here. The Shulchan Aruch Harov, he brings up this. He says, the reason why we don't make a bracha is because it's something called a heksha mitzvah. A heksha mitzvah means that it's only a mitzvah that allows you to complete a different mitzvah. So he says, it's not that there's a mitzvah to build a sukkah. There's only a mitzvah to build a sukkah if you are going to use that sukkah on sukkahs. Right? There's no mitzvah, according to Shulchan Aruch Harav, and this is based on the Gemara, this is based on the Gemara in, I think it's Menachos and Sukkah, they're saying, heksher mitzvahs, you don't make a bracha on. So any mitzvah, where I'm only doing this thing, I'm only doing this master right now to get to a proper mitzvah. A mitzvah gomar, a proper mitzvah, you don't make a bracha. So let's have some examples. Example of a heksher mitzvah, there's loads, right? Tying tzitzis, yeah? Writing a mezuzah. All of these things, you don't make a bracha on. Says the Gomorrah, says the Bavli, says the Shor, and I'm sure Shor spells it out, because these are called heksheri mitzvahs. They're heksher mitzvahs. Whatever you see that you're only doing a mitzvah to get to another mitzvah, you're not going to make a bracha. So therefore, building a sukkah is only a mitzvah if you're going to live in that sukkah. According to the Shulchan Aruch Harav, if you build a sukkah, let's say, 2 weeks before Sukkot, you build a beautiful sukkah in your back garden, beautiful, with the schach and everything, you put all the decorations in there, and 3 days before Sukkot, you win one of these raffles that the kids go around with, yeah? You win the raffle, fully expensive, all Eretz Yisrael, you go off, you're staying in wherever, your hotel in Yerushalayim, and your sukkahs, yeah, it could be there, you can't make a mitzvah, there's no mitzvah, because you only, the mitzvah, the original mitzvah, the heksher mitzvah only becomes a mitzvah once you actually use it for a mitzvah. Make sense? What? Yeah, they discussed that. It's a very good point. Yeah, what if you build it someone else and they're going to use it? It could be there. Okay, it would be different. But the Maisa, a Hefsha Mitzvah, anyway, we're not going to make a bracha on because it's only going to become a proper mitzvah once it's used. Now, the Yerushalmi, so the Yerushalmi actually, Paskins, you do make brachas on Hefsha Mitzvah. So when you have a Hefsha Mitzvah, the Yerushalmi says you would make a bracha. And they actually say what the bracha would be for building a sukkah. So it would be a Shek, the Shalmi Mitzvah, Savvet, Sivano, La Soy Sukkah. The Chashkodesh Baruch has commanded me to build a sukkah. And they would say the same for tying a lulav. Any mitzvah, writing a mezuzah, any mitzvah is a heksher mitzvah. The Yerushalmi says that it's enough to make a bracha. The Paschal Halacha is not like that, right? We don't make brachas on these things. The Gemara in Menachos in the Bavli and the Gemara in Sukkah clearly says we don't make brachas on these things. We don't make any brachas on Hechsheri mitzvah. Any Hechsheri mitzvah we don't make a bracha on. Right? We, as you said, I think, we include it in our bracha later on. Yeah, we have it all in mind maybe, perhaps that's a shot. Now, another thing the Gemara says, just slightly off topic but on the same inyan here, is the Gemara does say that you should make a Shechiyami when you build a sukkah. And that, there's no machlokes there. That's the Yerushalmi and the Bavli. When you build a sukkah, so you can make a Shechiyami. It's a mitzvah that comes around every now and then. Yeah? It's time-bound. It's once a year. Therefore, it does say you should make a Shechiyami. No one does that, right? I've never seen anyone make a Shechiyami. And the place can bring you shouldn't. So it's not so clear why. So fine. That's no good. So the Mordechai says that we include all of our Shechiyamis and all of our brachas in Kiddush on sukkah, and we'll include the building of the sukkah. So why do we do that? So again, the Mordechai says the reason why the Gemara in Sukkah, and it brings that Rav Kahana would do this, he would build his Sukkah, and then later he would make his Shechiyanu on Kiddush and include the building of the Sukkah. And the reason he did this, again, the Mordechai says it's not me, it's a bit of an interesting pshat here in terms of it's more based on a reality rather than a deep understanding. The Mordechai is saying that people back then didn't have their own Sukkahs. Yeah? It was uncommon for people to have their own sukkahs. Therefore, they didn't want people to lose the bracha of Shechiyanu. So they were metakin it in Kiddush, that everyone should say Shechiyanu. All of Klal Yisrael should be saying Shechiyanu at the same time. You shouldn't have half of them saying Shechiyanu a week earlier, half saying a week before that, and then other people feeling bad all the way, they don't have their own sukkah. Therefore, the Mordechai says, you don't make a Shechiyanu on building a sukkah, you should include it later. And that would be the same for a lulav as well. A lulav is easier to understand, right? A lulav, if you had one arba minim in a village, right, they'd pass it around. So therefore, you're not going to make a Shechiyanu on binding it, then only the Rav would perhaps get to make the bracha. Okay. On the topic of tzitzis, so now, the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Yud Tes says that when you tie tzitzis, do you make a bracha tying tzitzis? Why wouldn't you make a bracha? When you tie tzitzis, not when you wear them, when you tie them, why would you not make a bracha? Hechsher mitzvah, what's the problem? What's the problem with saying that's a Hechsher mitzvah? No. What does it say in Chumash about tzitzis? There's two main psukim. What do you say? There's two main psukim that mention tzitzis. The first one says, "Va'asu lehem tzitzis al kanfei v'gdeihem." What does that mean? You shall make. The Torah is telling you, "Va'asu lehem tzitzis." You shall make tzitzis. You shall tie tzitzis. There is seemingly a mitzvah to tie tzitzis. Right? Now, later on, the Torah says, there it says you shall put these tzitzis and put them on a four-corner garment. So, it seems there's two mitzvahs here. One mitzvah is tying the tzitzis, and another mitzvah is actually wearing the tzitzis on a four-corner garment. So really, it seems you should be making a bracha on tying the tzitzis. It seems it's its own mitzvah in its own right. There's a possible sense that after learning tzitzis, you shall tzitzis. So why are you not making a bracha? It doesn't seem like it's a hechsher mitzvah. Everyone understands the kasha?
Yeah.
Fine. The Mishnah Berurah brings this right there on the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch clearly paskins we don't make a bracha. He doesn't explain why. You only make a bracha when you actually wear the tzitzis. What that bracha is for a different day. Go to Machlokes, poskim. But the Mishnah Berurah says once we have the second pasuk that says Yedilim Ta'aseh Loch Arba Kanfos. Once we have the second pasuk that says we're only putting tzitzit on a four corner garment, so says the Mishnah Berurah, it's telling you that the main mitzvah is only made once you actually use the tzitzis. So drosha, once you actually use the tzitzis, then it becomes a mitzvah. But the actual making of tzitzis, according to Mishnah Berurah, Mishnah Kanara, is not complete until you actually use the tzitzis. So if you actually tie strings, you don't really need a second. You could just have a second. I don't know exactly how the drosha works, but he says that since you have a second pasuk that mentions wearing the tzitzit on a four-corner garment, the Mishnah Berurah learns out that the mitzvah is only completed once you actually use it. Very similar to the sukkah. But there is a mitzvah, let's call it, of tying tzitzis, but it's only shalim, it's only complete once you actually wear the tzitzis. Okay, next mitzvah, no bracha. Interesting one. Eating Erev Yom Kippur. Right, we know there's a mitzvah, Parshas Emor, it says, Chazal and a drosha, it says in Parshas Emor that a person should afflict themselves on the ninth, in the evening of the ninth, I think it says, and everyone knows that Yom Kippur is on the 10th. Yeah? So therefore, since Yom Kippur is on the 10th, and the Torah tells us to afflict ourselves also on the ninth, so Chazal and a drosha, that anyone who eats on Erev, this is a good mitzvah, right? Anyone who eats on Erev Yom Kippur, it's like he, or she, let's say she, I'm not sure if women are to this, but let's say, anyone who eats on Erev Yom Kippur, it's like they fasted on both days. Yeah? Which is obviously a good thing. Okay. Another question. Once we have a drosha from a posuk, and once we say that someone should fast on Erev Yom Kippur, why is it that there's no drosha? Yeah, hear what you're saying? Yeah. So, okay. So, it's a machloikis. We're going to see. So, Rashi and the Rishonim have a big machloikis here. Rashi seems to say in Brochus. Yeah, Rashi seems to say in Brochus and Yoma, he seems to say it's a Hesher Mitzvah, like you're saying. The only reason we're eating on Erev Yom Kippur is so we can fast. Well, the next day. Which would have ramifications for who? Get the steps. Who would that have a ramification for? Someone who is not fasting, right? So, according to that shot, if someone's not fasting, L'choira, there's no mitzvah for them to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. According to that side. Fine. Everyone follows?
Yeah.
Fine. Now, according to Rashi and Rosh Hashanah, Tess on the base, and other Rishonim, it's not a Hesher mitzvah. It's a mitzvah in its own right. There is a mitzvah, maybe we understand the time of the mitzvah, maybe we don't, but Lamaisa, there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. If that's the reason, and it's not a Hesher mitzvah, so therefore, everyone should do it, regardless of whether they're fasting, and there's also a bracha. Because if it's a Hesher mitzvah, we know we pass them like the Bavli that we don't make brachas on a Hesher mitzvah. But if it's not a Hesher mitzvah, and it's a normal mitzvah in its own right, so why are we not making a bracha on eating on Yom Kippur? Right? Now,
eating is a substitute for fasting.
Eating is a?
Substitute for fasting.
So therefore, why wouldn't you make a bracha?
Therefore, you're not actually doing the act.
Substitute. Okay. It's a very. I'm going to. Yeah, okay, let's go there. That's a very, very, very interesting point. So, it could be, even according to the Yerushalmi, who says you do make brachas on a hechsher mitzvah, on a preparational mitzvah, when it comes to eating on Yom Kippur, you wouldn't. Even if it's not a hechsher mitzvah. Sorry, let's start again. I didn't say it clearly. There's no bracha on eating on Yom Kippur, right? Either because it's a hechsher mitzvah, or because on Erev Yom Kippur, or because it's... Either because it's a Hesher Mitzvah, or because it's... So let's think like this. There's no bracha eating Yom Kippur because it's a Hesher Mitzvah. That's simple. Now, let's assume for a second it's not a Hesher Mitzvah. So let's assume it's not a Hesher Mitzvah. Why are we not making a bracha? So you wanted to say that the reason could be because we don't make a bracha on fasting. So I'm just going to explain that out a little bit, and I think it could be the answer. Why don't we make a bracha on Yom Kippur on fasting? Pardon? Well, what are you making a bracha on?
Yeah,
it's passive, you're not doing anything. How can you make... I'm going to make a bracha on not speaking Lashon Hara. From now. What are you making a bracha on? I'm going to make a bracha on not doing malacha. You're not doing anything. How can you... It's very difficult. Any mitzvah that's passive, any mitzvah that you complete by not doing anything, we don't make brachas on. Right? So therefore, you don't make a bracha on fasting on Yom Kippur. Says Chazal, anyone who eats on Erev Yom Kippur... anyone who eats on Erev Yom Kippur, it's as if they fasted both days. So some of the Acharonim want to say that since it's like you fasted, since Chazal are comparing it to fasting on both days, just as you don't make a bracha on fasting on Yom Kippur because it's passive, you're not doing anything, so too you wouldn't make a bracha on eating on Erev Yom Kippur. And that would be even according to everyone, even according to the ones who would say that the Yerushalmi that says you make a bracha on Hesher mitzvahs would tell you here not to. Because even the Yerushalmi says, you follow that step? Yeah. No, again, the Chazal say anyone who eats on Erev Yom Kippur, it's like they fasted
2 days.
So once Chazal link eating to fasting, we're going to say that they get the same halacha, as in no bracha. Yeah. It's a way of understanding it. Yeah. Otherwise, you say it's a Hesher mitzvah. But then the Yerushalmi says it's not a Hesher mitzvah. As in, there's a machloket for showing that maybe it's not a Hesher mitzvah. Then why are we not making a bracha? So you could be soimich on what I just said, perhaps. Unless you have a better answer, I don't know. I was thinking about that. I'd ask Simon Stockman, is what he told me. Okay. Makes sense somewhat? Yeah? Okay. So what's interesting is, what's interesting is, with Akiva Eger, let's say, just very quickly, on eating on Erev Yom Kippur, let's say eating on Erev Yom Kippur is a mitzvah in its own right. It's not a Hesher mitzvah, like we said. So would a woman have to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? Why not? Okay, let's say it better. Does she have a chiyuv? Does she have to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? Is there a mitzvah for her to do so? So it's going to come back to the original machloekah. So we keep it, discusses this. A mitzvah shizum on grama. Any mitzvah that comes and goes with time, a woman doesn't have to do. So therefore, if you say it's a hechsher mitzvah, and it's only so you can fast well on Yom Kippur, so then she would definitely have to do it, because she's going to fast the next day, just like a man. But if you say that it's not a hechsher mitzvah, and it's a mitzvah in its own right, so therefore it's going to be time-bound, mitzvah shizum on grama, and the choreo, she would have a choice whether she wants to do it or not. Okay, the last one we'll get to is B'dikas Chometz. B'dikas Chometz is very interesting. Why are we making a bracha on B'dikas Chometz? What is B'dikas Chometz? Seemingly, what is B'dikas Chometz? That's maybe the next step. But what's the first step?
It's a mitzvah in its own right.
That's the next step. But that's only the Poshup Shah, if you look at Rashi, you look at Tosfos at the beginning of Pesachim, is that it's a Hechsher mitzvah. We're going to get to the fact that it's not. But the Poshup Shah in Rashi and Rashonim, why are you doing B'dikas Chometz? If you ask a normal person who hasn't learned a lot, right, just a normal everyday person, let's say, why are you doing B'dikas Chometz? They're going to tell you because I want to get rid of my Chometz. But you're not going to get rid of your chametz, let's say, till the next morning, or yet the next day. So therefore, right now, you're doing a mitzvah of cleaning the house. So you're doing a mitzvah to get to the burning of the chametz the next morning. You're not burning it that night. So therefore, it seems, on the surface, this is a hechsher mitzvah. It seems. L'choira. It's not. We're going to say it's not. But l'choira, it seems that the b'dikas chametz is a hechsher mitzvah. Everyone following me? You're only doing it so you can find your chametz, so you can get rid of it the following morning and do beer. Yeah, so why are you making a bracha? Why do you make a bracha on B'dikas Chometz? So, the Rabbeinu David says on the Gemara Pesachim, he says two teretzim, and I think he gives both because each one has a slight problem. We'll just leave it here. The first teretz he says is the B'dikas Chometz, which is what you said, is that it's actually not really a B'dikas Chometz in the sense of cleaning the house. It's actually a part of the general mitzvah of Bi'ur Chometz, destroying Chometz. It happens to be that you're starting it the night before. You're starting it now, and I'm going to finish it in the morning, but the general mitzvah of destroying chometz is being fulfilled through this process. Therefore, we'll make a bracha of al-bi'ur chometz. Right? But what's the problem with that shot? Well, there's a slight problem. Why are you making a bracha again in the morning? Why are you making a bracha in the morning? Right? You made a bracha at night, and it's all one big zach. So why are you making another bracha in the morning? Okay, there are turetzim to that. There are turetzim, right? We're just running out of time. So he actually also brings another answer, another teretz, and he says, no, Chazal were metakin B'dikas Chometz in its own unique mitzvah, even though it's a hechsher mitzvah. Chazal said, since the issur Chometz is so common, since Chometz is so commonplace all around the house, therefore they were metakin its own mitzvah, in its own right, to clean out the house and find Chometz, even though normally we wouldn't make a bracha on such a thing. This is such a unique mitzvah that you have to make a bracha. Yeah, that's what he says. And he brings a raya from the pasuk. There's a pasuk in Parshas Kisavoy where it says that you should clean out your house and you should give all of your crops to the Leviim and the Ani. And it uses the word ba'arti, which is from the word bir. And he says there it means to clean out. So therefore, with a machloikas, the Rabbeinu David says, why do you make a bracha on B'dikas Chometz? Even though it's seen near Hechsher Mitzvah, either because it's a part of the general mitzvah of Bi'ur Chometz, getting rid of your Chometz, or because it's a mitzvah in its own right. Okay, we'll stop there, Shkir.